Well, it's good to see you all this morning. Here we are. We're just ready for the big reveal. It's been building up all year, and I know people in my household have been really excited about what's just come about. Farmer Wants a Wife is back on TV. And portions of my household are cheering and booking in the TV for 7 o'clock on tonight, and I can't even get a look in or to get my own program. But Farmer Wants a Wife is on, and the big build-up has finally come, and it's here. Fortunately for me, I know that Farmer Wants a Wife is a limited time frame, and sometime soon the season will finish. They'll all go away and do their own thing, and I'll be left to watch the news and do my own thing on the TV or whatever. But Farmer Wants a Wife, big expectations in our household. Everything has a time in the sun, and then it just evens out and softens off and finishes off. Our expectations building up to something that's big, you know, often the fulfillment of those expectations are a bit disappointing, and you feel a bit empty and hollow, whether it's your favourite TV show. If you remember back as a kid, you'd have your favourite TV show and you'd be waiting for a season to come on, or you'd be waiting all week for Tuesday night so you could watch Prisoner or something else or on TV, and you'd just block out your time. But when it finished, it was all finished and empty, and everything goes back to normal. So whether it's a TV show, whether it's a Christmas present you've been waiting for, whether it's your football team who's been struggling for the last 16 years to get into the Premier League, finally gets there, you know, at the end of the day, you know, does it really matter? Is it that important in the long run? Yet, when John starts writing his gospel, he's got a big reveal. Expectation has been building since creation, right at the very beginning, that a deliverer would come, that someone was coming to make a big difference. And this deliverer, this Messiah, the anointed one, is going to be revealed, and expect something big. It's going to impact not only the lives of those people in that time, but it would impact the whole world. It would impact the rest of history from that point of time on. And it will far exceed our expectations. So while our TV shows can come and go and ebb and flow, and our football clubs can go up and down the ladder, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he far exceeds our expectations. And the fulfillment of God's promised deliverer would exceed our expectations. Just want you to have an appreciation of the background of John writing this gospel. John was known as the disciple Jesus loved, and he had a message for his audience. But it was a message in a time that everything was going pear-shaped. I don't know if you can relate to situations around about us that are going pear-shaped at the moment, but John's time, things were going pear-shaped for the people he was ministering to. And so John wrote his gospel in about 85 AD and from Ephesus, and he had a multicultural audience. He has both Jews and Greeks in his audience. The Christ followers, people who called themselves Christians, they were being persecuted. There was a big fire in Rome, and Nero started to blame Christians for this fire. Just so happened it opened up a whole new area in Rome that he could do a rebuilding program for himself. But he had to have someone to blame. And so he blamed Christians. And so from AD 64, there was this ongoing persecution of Christ followers. Just 6 years later, in AD 70, the temple in Jerusalem was totally destroyed by the Roman Empire. And the same place that just 40 years earlier, the Lord Jesus Christ had walked through those temple courts and taught people. And it just took 40 odd years until that whole temple was destroyed. And so all through the known world, the Christ followers were being persecuted. And John was writing to Christians to say, hey, encourage these guys to have a vital and an active relationship and a faith and a trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he wrote his gospel, his aim was to encourage people to trust in God's deliverer, the rescuer, the Son of God. Now, he sums it all up. If you wanted a key verse for the Gospel of John, it would be in John chapter 20, verse 30. These things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Do you know the word believe is written 98 times throughout the Gospel of John? John was really hammering home this point. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to get your act together. You need to put your faith or your trust in something that's real. And this Lord Jesus Christ, he is worthy of your trust and faith. And so he wants us to acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the promised Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of God, and that we might have life with him. Now, in Scotland, my dad would often be encouraged or invited to go to a church, and they'd come up to him and say, "Brother, would you like to share a wee word?" Now, for people who are not Scottish, wee doesn't mean wee. It means small or short. But my dad was often encouraged to a youth group talk or a devotion, share a wee word. Now, me being the younger son of my father, who often shared a wee word, I knew with an eye roll that it was not going to be just one word and it wasn't going to be a wee word. It was going to take a long time to hear this wee word. It's interesting, John starts off by saying, in the beginning, the Word already existed. Now, do you see what John's done here? He's immediately linked in his gospel with Genesis chapter 1, right the way back at the very start of creation. It starts off, in the beginning was the Word, or in the beginning, God. There's no explanations why or hows or whatevers. It's just an accepted, this is a fact you need to get your head around. In the beginning, the Word already existed. And John describes the Lord Jesus Christ as being God's Word. Now, the God's Word, or the Word, or in Greek it's Logos, if you want to get technical, is a spoken word, is a verbal representation of what's going on in my head. So I'm sharing a verbal representation of what I'm thinking about right now, okay? Now, if I write it down on paper or on this little whiteboard, then I am giving you a physical representation of what's going, what I've thought about, okay? So this is a physical thing. You can take it home, you can put it on your coffee table and say, this is what Steve thought about on Sunday morning, okay? Physical representation. Two-dimensional physical representation. But God went one further. He presented the word in 3D. Jesus Christ was a physical expression of who God is and what God is like. And so he goes through and says that Jesus Christ is eternal. He wasn't created. He wasn't an afterthought. He wasn't a part of, we should do something here, so let's create a Jesus. No, he wasn't an afterthought. He was not created. He was eternal. He had no beginning. And so Jesus is also relational. If you look in your Bible, it said that the Word was with God. The Lord Jesus Christ was with God in relationship in heaven. And so it was the Godhead who said, yeah, we need to send someone, a representative, a 3D living physical representative to at this world that we've created. Who's going to go? And the Lord Jesus Christ put up his hand. He's relational. Jesus Christ is fully God. He wasn't just a hanger-on. He was fully God, and this is something that John wants us to acknowledge. And Jesus Christ is the Creator. All things came into being through his hand. If you look back at Genesis chapter 1, it says, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let's separate the water from the land. His word was powerful and effective, and the Lord Jesus Christ was involved in that. Now, this word logos is very interesting. John wanted to grab his audience's attention. He wanted to say, hey, listen to this. And so, because he had a multicultural audience, he had Greeks on one side and Jews on the other, he had a bit of a wordplay, and he realized that to grab people's attention, he had to say something a bit different. So to Jews, the word of God means that God shows his heart and his personality. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, Jews demand miraculous signs. And in the same place in 1 Corinthians 1, it says, Greeks look for wisdom. So the Jews are looking for miraculous signs and Greeks are looking for wisdom. And John's using the word as for Jews, the word shows God's heart and his personality and his desires. To Greeks, the word means God's mind and reason. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came as an expression of God's mind, reason, his heart, and his personality, and we are to take notice of it. You see, Jesus Christ is the one being revealed to man. All through history, if you take that wall as being right at the very beginning, all through history, God has tried to be revealing himself to his creation. He gave the sacrifice system where he shows that he is a holy God and he is worthy, and he demands a sacrifice or an offering to deal with people's sin. He's also revealed himself through his covenants that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God is faithful and he keeps his promises. He's dependable. He's reliable. That, you know, if God says something, he's going to follow through on that. And he's revealed himself through the covenant. He revealed himself in the temple. The fact that God wanted to be present in people's lives, that he was righteous and he wanted people to come to him and experience him and enjoy being present with himself. God also revealed himself through the prophets. And the prophets came and shared God's truth time and time and time again. The unfortunate things with all these things, from the sacrifices to the temples to the prophets, mankind, God's created beings, have rejected every revelation that he was giving each time. They either rejected it or they twisted it and mongrelized it and made it suit their own ends. And so we twisted things between us and God. So John is saying, recognize who Jesus is. He's eternal. He's relational. He's fully God. He's involved in creation. Now, something God said was that we had to look after creation, right? Now, I've got a confession. I've got a black thumb. In fact, you know what a black thumb is? When it comes to gardening, you either have a green thumb or a black thumb. Now, black thumb is when I look at a plant, it wilts and dies, okay? I touch something and it just goes blah. Now, we've got a plant in our bedroom who's, I'm sorry to say, has been neglected, okay? It's sitting in our bedroom. It doesn't get any sun and it doesn't get any water. In fact, we need to pack it off and send it to the mother-in-law's place for triage emergency care so she can bring it back to life. See, there's a difference between existing and living. So existing, this poor plant is just hanging on by a thread. It can come back to life, but it needs lots and lots of care and attention. But there's a difference between that, just hanging on to life, and then actually living life to the full. And it needs light, it needs water, it needs care, and it needs attention. And John is saying, Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, there is life. And he goes on, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Now, the Bible is all through the Bible, the Bible writers, authors have, the author is God, but the Bible writers have encouraged this thought of light and life being connected. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. John uses seven I ams of Jesus describing himself, and one of them is, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In Psalms, it says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light to guide my path. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. Now, we've been doing some renovations at our place, and I found this. And it's an LED light. And you know what? When you turn the LED light on, it does one of two things. It either pushes you away and it glares you, and you need to find comfort in a more shady spot. Or it attracts you to it. And so if you leave the light on overnight, you've got moths coming towards the light. Now, light is really helpful. If you've got kids and you've got to go into their room in the middle of the night, not so much now, but when they were younger, you know, I'd often, sure as eggs, stand on a piece of Lego. It was just inevitable. And so whenever I went into my kids' room, I'd always get my phone out and put the light on, the torch, so that I would avoid those Lego pieces, because they are deadly. Lights reveal the way. Your headlights reveal obstacles on the road. It reveals any dangers that might be coming your way. And so the light is shining in the darkness. But what John says is the darkness doesn't comprehend it. It doesn't understand who it is or recognize who the light actually is. And so God's heart is to offer light and life to mankind, to you and to me, but not everyone gets it. They see a light, but they're not attracted to it. You know, it's a scary thing. I don't know if you ever experienced this, but you get up in the morning and you go into the bathroom, you turn the light on, and look who's facing you in the mirror. Oh, sometimes it's pretty scary stuff. You see, the light shows the sagging skin and the puffy eyes, and sometimes you might have a pillowcase crease through your cheek or something like that. You've got sleep in the eyes, and sometimes you look and say, I might as well go back to bed. Sounds like a good idea. The big reveal, the light shows our failures, our flaws, our inadequacies. John said that Jesus' creation didn't know him. Even he came to God, he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, the children of Israel, but they rejected him. And so he's got this light shining. He doesn't force people to come to him. He just shines his light and says, hey, what are you going to do with me? Now, the things with light is it reveals our flaws. And when you look in the mirror with a light in front of you, it reveals things that you're not happy with about yourself. In Hebrews 4, it says, God's word is alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It exposes our innermost thoughts and our desires. Do you know what? When the light's shining and I'm not very proud of some of the things I think about or some of the things I do, you know what? Sometimes it's scary to go into the light. I'd rather stay in the shadows and, you know, do my thing in the shadows, in the darkness. Because when I come into the light, that's a scary prospect because it really highlights the things that are wrong with me. The Lord Jesus isn't there to judge you or to put you on the spot or reveal your flaws. He's there to say, hey, there's a better way. You're doing, thinking, acting these things in the shadows, but, you know, they're empty and hollow. Like farmer wants a wife, you know, it's the season's going to end, you know. But come into the light and let me help you live life to the full. Let me help you to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's scary. You step out of the shadows. You realize that Jesus has a passion to know me and understand me and to accept me. And so I come under and it exposes where I am. The next verse 12. If you've got your Bibles, underline this verse, and or if you've got it on your phone, highlight this verse. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus Christ has a passion and a desire to connect with people and to accept them just the way they are and draw them into his family and say, you know what, that thing that you do, you know, it's not the best way. Let me show you a better way. I will show you a better way of doing things. And there's a song, I talked to someone after the first service, and she comes to Jesus Club, and we were talking about Jesus and being a friend of Jesus, and we talked about the song that Alex likes so much, Little by Little Every Day, Little by Little in Every Way, Jesus is Changing Me. And so that's what Jesus wants. He said, hey, come and let me show you a better way of living. And so Jesus is fully God. He's a physical expression of who God is. God shows his heart and his passion for us, and he wants us to receive life and have it to the full. He's saying, inviting us out of the shadows and into his wonderful light. And I acknowledge it's a scary thing, but Jesus wants to reveal God to each one of us. It's a scary thing to come out of the shadows, but do you dare reveal yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he'll deal with you gently and caringly and lovingly and guide you along the way you should go. So the Lord Jesus Christ is God's revelation to each one of us. And he wants to have a relationship with you. Now we're going to play a song. I'll pray, then we'll play a song, Jesus, What a Beautiful Name. And then we're going to go into communion. I'll invite two or three people to pray, and then I'll wrap up with a prayer, and we'll take the bread and the juice. If you're at home, and now is the time to get your bread or your crackers or a bit of juice so you can remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might want to use some of the words in John chapter 1, praising God for who he is, the fact that he's eternal, the fact that he's relational, the fact that he has come into this world so that we can be invited into his family. You might want to use the verse from verse 12 in your remembering time. Say a short prayer and thank God for who he is. So I'll pray now, and then we'll play our song, and we'll say goodbye to our online people, and then we'll just... people here will have a few prayers, and then we'll take the bread and the juice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the impact that he's made on the whole of history, the impact that he's made in my life, the impact that he's made in Brad's life, and the fact that you're not wanting us to perform or play a part or be a part of your family because we speak in tongues or read the Bible or say a prayer or whatever. But you want us to have a real and vital relationship with yourself. I thank you that we can come and remember you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.